Good morning, guys. So good to be with everyone. Great to see you. We're doing our sermon series through the Beatitudes, through the Sermon on the Mount, the classic Matthew 5, the best sermon in the world. If you've never heard it, go read it in your own time. But this morning, we're going to look at the truthful life. Okay, so a little insight into my life. On Thursday this week, me and my sisters, we went to see Dolly Parton. The Dolly Parton. The real Dolly Parton. She's 80 years old and she came to a village in Bradford. Like, how amazing is that? Like, that's kind of crazy. I mean, there's a picture of it. Yeah. If you look a bit closer, you can see, like, she might not have real hair and she might be wearing a lot of makeup. And she also might not be 80 years old in that picture. But me and my sisters at that tribute act felt like we were in Dolly Parton's presence. And every song that she sang, we were like, this could be the real thing. And so what I want to talk to you guys today is sometimes we convince ourselves that something that is so obviously not true is true because it sounds like the right thing to do, it feels like the right thing to do, but the reality is that's not Dolly Parton, that's Katie O'Brien, and she's a really great tribute act, okay? So we're going to be looking at the truthful life. We're going to be reading Matthew 5, verses 33 to 37. So if you have your Bible, you can open it up with me. And it will be on the screen behind me as well. Let's read that together. Matthew 5, verses 33 to 37. Oaths. Again you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, this is Jesus speaking, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is the footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. I feel like there's a lot to figure out from this passage, but I want some participation this morning. So I've got a little saying we can all say together, should be on the screen. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. All right, let's do that together. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. I'm really sorry, that was weak. Let's do it again. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. That is what we're taking from this passage today, what Jesus calls us to do. And in society today, like, you hear people say, like, I've got an unpopular opinion, all right? Unpopular opinions are meant to, like, strike a chord in people's hearts. They're meant to get offended by them, all right? This morning is not condemnation. It's an awakening. We're just gonna open up together, all right? So my unpopular opinion is little white lies are as bad as murder. Hey, I know I said it. I'm sorry. I think little white lies are as bad as murder. I've got some examples for you. And I'm sorry if you feel convicted in some of these. Maybe a little bit. Saying you'll be there in 5 minutes when you'll be there in 30 minutes is lying. All right? Someone's waiting there for 25 minutes for you. That's not very kind or honoring. It's lying. Planning to call in sick so you can go to that event is lying. Okay? Calling your child's school to say that they're sick so you can go on holiday is lying. Okay, I know that school half terms and holidays are expensive times to go away, but guys, let's not lie. Not paying the fare on TFL is lying. It's a cost of living crisis, guys. I'm sorry, but it's lying to barge through those turnstiles, I'll say. Taking a bag from self-checkout and not paying for it is lying. And it's stealing. So you've done two things there. That's not great, all right? Not paying your taxes is lying. Render to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. Don't not pay your taxes. Saying you've read the terms and conditions when you haven't is lying. And guys, I'm sorry. I've done that like 5 times this week. So it's also a vulnerable space. Like, I can be honest too and say, I've lied this week. And I don't think it's a far stretch to say that all of us have lied at least once this week, whether it was a little white lie or a big fat lie. We've all lied. We're looking at truthfulness. And this passage speaks about oaths. So what is an oath? Well, it is an appeal made to God in public, calling upon him to witness a statement made in connection with an event or fact, past, present, or future. Now, if you're anything like me, I love a reference. So you may know in America when they have a big court of law, they get a witness to the stand and they say to that witness, put your hand on the Bible. Do you promise to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you? And they say, I do. So help you God. Sorry, I missed that point. So they're saying in front of this whole court of law, I promise, I swear down on the Bible, I'm telling the truth. Right. I've got some pictures of some films that I really love. So these are all kind of examples. Maybe you've seen these films and maybe you can kind of picture like the scene, the atmosphere. The first one, Very Good Men, it's an iconic line with Jack Nicholson and Tom Cruise. You can't handle the truth, right? So it's all about truth. We've got To Kill a Mockingbird. Some of you might have looked at that in school. We've got Legally Blonde. That one's a crazy one because it's like fun but also serious. And then we've got a very important one, B-movie. The most amount of bees ever in the court of law, like in that movie. It's an insane situation. It's kind of crazy. Oaths in America, in the court of law kind of situation. It's very dramatic. It's very out there. But maybe you've seen oaths made super casually. So growing up for me, I don't know, maybe it's just because I'm a northern girl, grew up in a little town. People would just be saying, I swear down on my mum's life. Or they'd be like, I swear down on my nana's grave. Like they'll say like stuff like that very, very casually when someone just said, did you steal my pen? And they're like, oh, I didn't do it. Or maybe you've heard people say, I swear down on the Bible. And it's like, oh, okay. Like we're bringing the word of God into it. All right. To really believe someone, sometimes you say things to really convince them, like that you are telling the truth. And it's funny because I don't know if you've ever noticed it with kids, like they love to like convince you that they're telling the truth, even if they're not. Like kids will be like, I promise I didn't do it, I didn't do it, I'm innocent. And they could have very well done it, but they're trying to plead with you. They're trying to make you see them as the innocent, the guilty-free child that they might be, you know, because kids, their original sin, like there's just a lot of stuff going on with kids, but we love them. But sometimes as parents or as adults, we have to like let them be on that little rant of like, promise I didn't do it. And we have to just choose to let it go, even though we know that they stole the pen. Because actually in that situation, we just want them to stop crying and trying to convince us that they're right. But what I'm getting at is we don't need to put our hand on the Bible to say that we're telling the truth. We should just tell the truth, right? We don't need to prove to someone that we're telling the absolute truth. We should just always tell the truth. I'm not trying to condemn you today. I'm trying to awaken our hearts to see the value of our words. So let's say it together, guys. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. The very existence of oaths is proof that there's such things as lies. And, you know, I'm not the first person in the room to admit that I know what a lie is, terms and conditions. But oath, especially in a state of law, is seen as like the highest form of truthfulness. Like basically with the law, they're saying you can go about your life, you can lie, you can tell the truth, do whatever you like. But if you're in that courtroom, we expect you to tell the truth. When actually we should just always tell the truth. Regardless of whether we're put on a stand as a witness or as someone who is having a criminal like act be put against them, we should just always tell the truth. And Jerry last week reminded us of the Ten Commandments. Does anyone know what number 9 is? Thou shalt not lie. Great, guys. Great memory. Do not bear false witness about your neighbor. So we see in the Sermon on the Mount like that Jesus brings laws and passages that God brought into the Old Testament in order to like allow God's people to to live the life that they were leading with God's blessing on it as well. Like God twisted some things and allowed things that to, for them to be able to understand what he was doing. So initially God said marriage would be between one man and one woman. And then he enabled divorce to happen because of what was happening in the environment with women not being protected or valued. And also just like this like legal piece of document was becoming really, really tricky. And then we see the same thing with oaths. Like God allowed oaths to be something that happened because he found that his people were always lying. So an oath was something that would enable people to know that this person's really telling the truth because they have made an oath about it. God expressed his condemnation for a lie by the use of an oath in the Old Testament. However, Jesus destroys the ability to lie altogether as he rebukes oaths. With no exceptions should a lie be allowed. And basically, there's no difference. What you were to say under oath is what you should say not under oath. We should always just tell the truth. Therefore, the oath must go as it's a protection for lies. So let your yes be your yes and your no be your no. Do you know that every word you utter, even when you're on your own, God sees it. God hears it. He knows all things. And what was really interesting this morning, as I was reading in Hebrews, it wasn't a planned thing, but I ended up reading in Hebrews where the writer speaks about oaths again. So I think it's on the screen just behind me. I'm just going to read it. For when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself, saying, surely I will bless you and multiply you. And thus Abraham, having patiently waited, obtained the promise. For people swear by something greater than themselves, and in all their disputes, an oath is final for the confirmation. So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath. So that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. What we see here is like for Abraham to truly believe that God was going to do what he said he was going to do, he was like, oh, I'm going to have to make an oath to Abraham because he's not going to believe me. But God cannot lie. So in that moment, God had to swear by himself to Abraham, I will lead you. I will be with you. And that just says so much about our hearts. It says so much about how we don't trust people easily. Like, I don't know if you've ever been hard done by someone. I've been lied to in like serious situations and unserious situations in my life. And it actually breaks loyalty. It breaks trust. And I also just want to speak to anyone in the room. If you are actually processing like someone who is consistently lying to you and betraying you, like I want to say sorry, but I also want to say like there's freedom from the baggage of that you're carrying in your life. Like the unforgiveness, the whatever it is against someone who's hurt you, like God wants you to be free this morning, and he doesn't want someone else's mistakes, someone else's lies to define how you feel. God doesn't lie. We have a God whose very nature is to speak truth and life, and who solidified his word with Abraham with an oath, because we could not fathom the truth that he was speaking. And this is the God who knows that his people don't trust easily. If he is the God of truth, we also should speak with truth and life. Not because we should, but actually because we have close relationship with him. That passage speaks about us being able to come behind the curtain, us being able to come into the presence of God because of what Jesus did as we took communion earlier. We understand. If he is the God of truth, we should speak truth and life. And there's this significance in telling truth always, because living in white lies holds us from true freedom. And living in truth eradicates us from guilt. There is an absolute truth. Not everyone's truth can be the truth. We were speaking to that with our young people on Friday, that, you know, people say like all paths lead to God, all roads lead to heaven. Well, only one path can lead to God. Not every path can do that, because otherwise then it's not the absolute truth. And we see that Jesus is truth. So then what is the meaning of living in complete truth? It's living a life surrendered to Jesus. The commandment of complete truthfulness is really only another name for the totality of discipleship. Before Jesus was crucified, Pilate asked Jesus if he'd been calling himself God. And Jesus in that moment said, "You've said so." Jesus told the truth when the penalty for that was death. Jesus, he could have avoided the cross. He obviously would have died eventually. But he could have avoided the cross in that moment purely for the sake of his life. But in that moment, he chose to say, "Yeah, I am God. I've been telling people I'm God because I am God." And that is what led him to the cross in those final days, in those final moments. And we lie to get out of an uncomfortable situation. Jesus did not lie to get out of a death penalty sentence. Jesus, God, came to remove all blemish that not even the smallest of stains would stick. It's like if you've ever taken a white coat to a dry cleaner. It's got a big black, brown stain all over it. And you just think, I can't get this out on my own. I can't ask my friends to do it. I can't ask my mum to do it. I'm going to go to the dry cleaner. You get it back and it's not just completely stainless and lovely, but it's pure white. That is what happens when we come before God, when we kneel before him and we say, "God, I don't want to wear these messy clothes anymore. I don't want to live with these lies anymore. I want to be clean." And God gives us the white coat and he robes us with righteousness and purity. Jesus telling the truth to Pilate was in preparation for him to die a death that we deserved. He took on our sin, he took on our mess, he took on our lies and died with it so that we may live in freedom and in truth. And not just that, Jesus rose again. Like, we got to declare that as we took communion together, proving he was the Son of God, proving he was who he said he was. And if this is true, then it is of every importance to us. It means that there is a way, and that there is a way that is true, and that is through Jesus. That once we accept him, he slowly brings us into the likeness of himself. That when we know the power of the cross, we are no longer afraid of the truth, but we live in the truth. In John 8, verses 31 to 32, "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, 'If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" But at the end of the day, we're all still human, right? Our flesh is weak, and at times, sometimes we lie without even being intentional. This is not condemnation. This is awakening. But we can only truly live truthful lives if we're in step with the Spirit and we allow the Spirit to convict us of whatever it is we might be carrying. Let your yes be yes and your be no. Thanks, guys. You're still with me. So we've been looking at this particular book throughout this series. It's called The Cost of Discipleship by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And just a passage from that I'd just love to read out over us is, Dietrich says, "Complete truthfulness is only possible where sin has been uncovered and forgiven by Jesus. So only those who are in a state of truthfulness through the confession of their sin to Jesus are not ashamed to tell the truth wherever it must be told. When we live in truth, it's vulnerable because we express like our whole self." And just a little personal story. For those of you who don't know, I'm a singer. and I like to write songs. And about 3 years ago, I wrote a song about hidden sin that I was living in. And it's called Skeletons. I've got actually the lyrics on the screen. But this is a song that I wrote, and it actually was about me wanting to bring stuff to the light. So it says, skeletons hiding, scared to bring them to the light, and thunder, God, will help me flee, but if I don't say no, I'll never be free. And I was inspired by that saying, like, skeletons in the closet, and like that they're hidden and that they're away. But actually, we've all got hidden things that we're trying to keep secret, almost like lies, that we're trying to pretend like we're living this truthful life. But actually, we've got things that we are ashamed of and that we don't want anyone else to see. But the thing is, like, when you bring things to the foot of the cross, they no longer have the power over you. Like, when we bring things that live in darkness into the light, they completely diminish, like, the power they had over us. That we therefore then don't need to live in guilt or shame because of the decisions we've made. We actually understand the grace and the mercy that God has poured out for us because we bring it to the light. We expose the evil that is so naturally and inevitably in our hearts, and we lay it before God. So it's a personal proclamation for each of us, but how can we live in truth more? How could you live in truth more? It was funny when I mentioned those little white lies earlier, but some of them are very real that we do month in, month out, week in, week out. Maybe it is like you actually thinking, I should probably pay my taxes now. Maybe it's actually you're surrounding yourself by individuals that genuinely, like, keep you from God. Like, they don't lift you up. They don't encourage you. They actually turn you away from him. And it's not saying no to those people altogether. It's just not letting them in the inner circle of the people who are influencing your life. Maybe it's having accountability partners with Christians who you trust and that you actually confess your deepest sin with. For me, I have incredible female Christian friends who know the messiest parts of my life because we choose to sit together and confess our sin together. For some of you in the room, that feels like a really uncomfortable thing. It's meant to be uncomfortable. It's meant to shake us up because actually we want to stand before Jesus when we get to heaven, and we want to say, yeah, I chose every moment to bring what was living in the darkness into the light. We shouldn't live lives that have lies and darkness and sin entangled. We want to bring those things to the light. Is it actually putting blockers on your phone so you can't access certain websites? Is it not waiting for someone to ask you what they honestly think about a decision that they made in their life that you completely disagree with for you to tell them the honest truth? Because actually, like, not being silly about it, like, when you're honest with your friends about things that you don't think is right, you're actually loving them better. If someone's made a decision, if someone's gone back to that relationship, if someone's done that thing that you know that every time they do, it doesn't end well, and you're not telling them that is actually harming them, you're not loving them in that moment. Is it actually just telling your non-Christians about Jesus, your non-Christian friends, your non-Christian family members? Is that actually just living in the truth, knowing it for yourself, but sharing it with others as well? Jerry spoke last week about some really, like, intense things that I think we didn't really, like, sit with. Like, I would really love this week for us to, like, respond to multiple things that I've mentioned as well this week. But he spoke about lust and adultery. And he also spoke about pornography. And those are three things, like, what, there's sex, money, power. That's the three things, isn't it? Like, the worst things, like, a leader could fall if he or she falls into one of those three things. And Jerry spoke about one of those things quite powerfully last week. And sometimes we get nervous to, like, say, God, I've, like, fallen and I need some help picking up. And sometimes we just allow ourselves to let it be in the closet and hide and fester and grow bigger. But what we want to do is we want to walk blameless and righteous before our God. So some things that Jerry mentioned last week, but also this week, I feel like some of us might be living in lies. Some of us might be okay with living in lies. Or there might be a continuation of something that you've decided to go back to again and again. And God just like, I want to bring freedom from that for you. So whoever, we're going to do a response part, but whoever comes forward, like, this is not a place of condemnation. This is not a place where we're going to think about what they're responding to. Every single one of us in this room needs Jesus. Whether you've been a Christian for 20 years or 2 minutes, you need Jesus. I need Jesus. So I'm going to come to the front and respond because I know I need his spirit more in my life. We cannot follow Christ unless we live in revealed truth before God and man. A part of living life with Jesus is being honest and vulnerable about the messy stuff that happen because we're human. It comes back to humility and honesty. Jesus carries these attributes and therefore we should too, because honesty breeds life, honesty creates safety, and honesty is loving others and ourselves. So what I'd love to do is invite the band up. And what I think would be the right and fitting response for this morning. I feel like we've had like quite a roller coaster of a morning together today. Like worship was so deep and so powerful and so rich. And this word, it's challenging. Like, I'm sorry, you weren't going to go home like feeling light and airy like after hearing this. It's meant to cause and stir us to think, God, what am I allowing in my life that isn't honoring or worshiping you to the fullest? And what we're going to do is, I'm actually just going to welcome anyone that wants to respond to just come to the front. And whatever you feel comfortable with, whether it's kneeling, sitting, standing at the front, it's just saying, God, I don't want to let anything fester in my heart that isn't honoring you. I don't want anything that is a lie in my life. I don't want anything that is allowing me to stumble through the darkness in my life to stop me from truly living a life that is set apart, that is surrendered. So we're actually going to go into this time of worship. And if God is doing something in your heart, like, please don't leave here without doing business with him, because that's when you'll actually go home feeling free. Because you chose to bring those things to the foot of the cross. Because you've chose to let God do something in your heart. Let me pray. We're going to go into worship. But I'm going to be the first person to be on my knees at the front. Because I need it. Because I need him. And if you want to join me, if you want freedom today, just come forward when it is the right time for you. But God, we thank you that you call us to live in truth. You call us to live lives set apart. But God, we can only do that by truly allowing your Holy Spirit to reside and live with us. We can only do that if we have confessed that you are Lord over our lives. So, Father, I just want to pray for this room. Whatever it is that we are carrying, whatever hurt that we're carrying from other people's lies and decisions, whatever hurt that we're carrying from our own lies and decisions, God, we just want to leave it at the foot of the cross. We want to leave this place free. We want to be shaken up, God. Don't let us live comfortable Christian lives, Lord. Shake us up. Shake us up, Jesus. Allow us to see you in your glory. Allow us to come before you honestly, truly. Thank you, God.